Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, fan.video, vigilante.tv, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate the support. You can share the show if you like it, or you can rate it. If you think I'm doing a good job, give me 5 stars. I appreciate it. The website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Macroaggression. Thank you to our sponsors that make this show possible. Chemical Free Body's been with us from the beginning. I love their products. I take them every single morning. Green 85. I'm not kidding. For 3 years. I am very consistent about my use of it and about my appreciation for what Tim James is doing over there. They're making the best supplements around. I mean, they're making supplements that actually work, which it puts them in a category above most, 50% of the companies out there. But their products are really well made. And Tim is insane about that. And I appreciate his level of care. I think it matters. His products are above reproach. But if you found that you didn't, you had a problem with it, he'll give you double your money back and a price guarantee. So he stands behind it. I think if you're interested in getting yourself leaned out a little bit for the summer, you could take a look at their products. I did the detox bundle. That's a gut detox, toxin detox, ultra enzymes, probiotics, and then a couple cans of Green 85. And that's like a 90-day program. It will lean you out. I had crazy results. I had to film it. I filmed it and used it as like a little promo ad that was on the website for a while. I had to buy new shorts, really, and I'm not somebody that has a lot of weight to lose. I don't have any weight to lose, and I wasn't trying to lose weight, and that's what happened. I think that just kind of cleaned out all the garbage out of my system. So some results may vary. I'm not saying that you're going to have the same results that I had, but it worked for me, and so it stands to reason that it could very well work for you as well. So go to chemicalfreebody.com, take a look, find something you like, use the promo code MACRO to save yourself a little bit of money. Also to Legal Shield, this company's been in business for 50 years, half a century, and have an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau is a pretty good start, right? So hopefully they'll be around for the next 50 years. What they do is they allow people like us to have access to high-powered attorneys in your area. Just the collective buying power of all of us directed towards these really well-known, well-respected law firms that'll get you access to an attorney that has on average 22 years of experience to help you out. And what can they help you out with? Well, a lot of things, not limited to, but including paperwork, last will and testament, medical power of attorney, financial power of attorney. Get these things done now while you're alive so that when you're dead, the state doesn't get involved and start monkeying around with your stuff and start divvying it up. So you don't want to die without a will, but you also don't want to spend $2,000 for you and your spouse to go down there and get it. So you probably want to take a look at Legal Shield. It's $30 a month. It's a dollar a day. I mean, I'd say that if you signed up for this program, you'd be quite literally insane not to take advantage of it in the first month and get all of this stuff knocked out. Just, I mean, it'll pay itself off for the next 10 years just by going in there and getting all the paperwork done. And then from this point on, if somebody at your work wants you to sign a new employment contract that has funky language regarding medical procedures, what you agree to do in the event of a pandemic, and you feel a little uncomfortable, send it to your attorney. You get a speeding ticket, you get parking tickets, you get a red light camera ticket, send it to your attorney. Just send everything to your attorney, because they have ways of dealing with this that you and I don't have. So they can send a letter. They can, that's what they do. So this levels the playing field. It allows us to not get pushed around by retailers that say, well, you know what? Sue me then, buddy. If you think I'm doing something wrong, sue me. Well, a letter from your attorney will change things, I assure you. So that's why we chose the web domain www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. I think it sets the tone for what I'm going for here, which is let's be proactive. Let's get all the paperwork out of the way now while we can, while we're thinking about it at a very reasonable price. And also, we're not going to allow ourselves to get bullied by bigger people, bigger organizations, your job, whatever. If there's somebody, the state, of course, if there's somebody that's trying to push you around because they know that you don't have access to representation, that changes. The minute you sign up for Legal Shield, you're going to get all sorts of benefits to it. So I'll tell you what, just go to the website, take a look, see what you think. www.don'tgetpushedaround.com is the domain. They'll help you with a small business plan, an identity shield, all kinds of things there. So you're covered, and you're going to need it. You're going to need it because it's the craziest time I've ever seen. I've been alive for 50 years. I mean, half the time, maybe physically alive, but mentally checked out. But I'm not checked out anymore. I'm watching you fuckers over there that are up to no good in the government. I'm watching you in the media. I'm watching you in the medical industry. I'm watching all of these people. And it's frustrating. And I've been vocal about it. I grew up in California, a beautiful state, or at least it was, turned into a dumpster fire. Not because of the earthquake that was expected to hit for all these years. California is going to break off and drop into the ocean. Oh, if only, if only at this point, it'd be an upgrade from what's going on there. It's a goddamn shame, but it's 100% preventable. This is done by politicians making dumb decisions. And not just any politicians, let's be honest. California is heavily Democrat. And again, my contractually obligated to mention that I am not a Republican by saying that. And the reason why I say that is because whenever Democrats or people on the left hear criticism about them, about their policies, about their insane ideology, their reflex, you know, response to that is, well, your side's not any better. I'm not on that side. And listen, but for the record, the right is better. Right now, I mean, they're not good. They're the state. It's politics. So it's by default, it's not good. But it's better than what you guys are offering. Have you looked at California lately? I mean, have you looked at San Francisco? I did an entire episode on San Francisco and the disaster that it has turned into. Now, it's not like the 1906 earthquake that devastated San Francisco, and then they created a catastrophe they had to rebuild from. No. This is all man-made. This is all by design. This is all government-induced. This is because the government in California loves the concept of emergency powers. Because it allows them to govern without listening to the will of the people. And California hates people. If you're a rational, thinking, a working age person that gets up in the morning and pays your bills and goes to work and takes care of your kids and wants peace and harmony and doesn't want crime or anything, that the state of California hates your guts for that. They don't care about you at all. They only want to protect the worst people on the planet. They want to protect, they're bending over backwards to let people out of prison. People that have not, I'm not talking about people that got busted for like a joint in their pocket, stupid shit like that. I'm talking about murderers. I'm talking about convicted murderers are being let out of prison in California. I'm serious. I'm not making this up to make a point. During COVID, they're like, well, we're going to let 40% of the people out of these prisons. And it's like, oh, okay. Like the low-level offenders, they're like, what? They let people out that were convicted of murder. So this makes you think, okay, there's no way this could be happening organically, right? This is being made to happen. This ideology is so detached from anything that you would ever really want if you're trying to make a state great or make it livable even. You wouldn't do any of these things. And yet California is doing all of them. Like homeless people, fine, you know, come on down. Let's just invite everybody. I mean, 47% of all homeless people in the United States live in California. Did you know that? 47%. Let's just round up and say half. Half of all the homeless people, you know, we have a huge, rampant, insane homeless problem in the United States, in case you're not living here. Just so you know, it's everywhere. I mean, I've seen the videos in South Africa. It's as bad as that in some parts and in some cities. And as bad as that is in the country of the United States of America, half of all of them live in California. I wonder why. Because they're treated like heroes. They're given whatever they want. I remember living in Southern California and Santa Monica had a very relaxed policy when dealing with the homeless. But you go to Venice Beach, which is just a little bit south, you know, it's just the next city south of Santa Monica. You go down that promenade at night, good luck to you. You will get mugged for sure. And that's because that's where all the homeless people live. And listen, I'm not trying to shit on people being homeless, because there's a variety of factors that contribute to that. Okay. Some of them are just most definitely not the person's fault. It's their problem, but it's not their fault. You know, I mean, you know, you're a single mother and you're trying to escape from an abusive household and you have nowhere to go and you wind up on the streets. I have a ton of empathy for people like that. You know, drug addiction, you know, people get into that and they think they're just going to tiptoe around the edges and then they fall in and that happens. And there's, but you know, California closed all the mental health asylums. We used to see that when I was at USC. We used to see the van pull up. We'd be like outside at some like fast food restaurant, like eating dinner. The van, the white van would pull up. The guy would get out. The driver would get out, open the back and just get out. And like six different people would come out, like disheveled people wearing like hospital gowns. And the van would just drive off. And you go, the fuck is this? They're like, oh, they're letting the people out of the insane asylum. They're just letting them out on the street. And you're like, oh, like... for real they're doing that? I thought that was just like some, I just thought that was talk or something. No, I've seen it with my own two eyeballs. I've watched it happen. Sitting at Chano's, anyone that went to USC knows where Chano's is, sitting out there on those outdoor tables and just watching it going, holy shit, they're just letting off lunatics here. And then it's like, we can't figure out where all this crime is coming from. Oh, really? You have no clue at all. No clue that you've let mentally ill people, you've taken them from hospitals where they were getting, I don't know, some kind of treatment. They were at the very least being kept away from the general public. And you just go, fuck it. Let's just let them out on the streets. That what could possibly go wrong with that? But again, when the governor of California is psychopath and president in training Gavin Newsom, you know, I mean, why would you expect rational thought and sanity? I mean, this guy is... he's going to be the president. You know that, right? At some point, it's not going to happen this term. And it's probably not going to happen next term. But he's going to be the president of the United States. You know why? Do you know the main reason why Gavin Newsom will be the president of the United States, besides the fact that he's Nancy Pelosi's nephew and is a globalist all the way through to his core? He's going to be the president of the United States because he looks good. And I'm sorry, I wish I had a better reason for it. In the end, that's why he'll be the president, because he's tall and good looking and knows how to speak, and people are going to eat that shit up. It doesn't matter that he's turned the state of California, the sixth largest economy in the world, if California was broken off on its own, apart from the United States, the California economy would be the sixth largest in the world. He's taken this beautiful state and he's turned it into a homeless encampment where people are shitting on the sidewalks and looting Walgreens with no repercussions. All that will be forgotten. Mistakes were made, you know, but watch what I've joked and others have joked too, that he's the U-Haul salesman of the decade, really, for what he's done in convincing people to move out of state. When you have state income tax, for those that don't know, America has a federal income tax, and then each state that you live in may or may not have a state income tax. California has the highest state income tax in the country, 13.3%. It goes up even higher if you're in some sort of, like, I think if you wind up in some crazy tax bracket, but for the most part, you can count on $13 of every $100 you earn going to the state of California so that they can hand it over to the homeless people. And we're gonna get to that figure in a second. But again, the neighboring state of Nevada, where I lived in Las Vegas for a decade, you know what their state income tax is? 0%. So again, why would you live in California if you had the ability to move to Las Vegas or Texas or Florida or Tennessee or these other states that have 0% taxes? Why? I mean, that's what Joe Rogan did, right? You sign a $100 million Spotify deal. Let's just say it's $100 million. It might be more. And you know California is going to take $13 million of that. Why stick around? You can do your show anywhere. Do it somewhere else. Just make a financial calculation more so than anything, right? But again, he's not using logic. He just says, well, let's just keep raising taxes. They talked about raising taxes again. It's like, it's never enough. They don't know how to do things the proper way. They don't know how to they could encourage more people to come to California if they lowered their taxes. They're never going to do that, because if they lowered their taxes, how would they be able to afford $5 million of reparations in San Francisco that's being considered seriously? And I'm not making that up. They are considering very seriously having multiple meetings about giving black people in San Francisco $5 million for reparations for slavery that they were not a part of in a state that didn't have slavery. I mean, it makes your brain hurt trying to understand this line of thinking. You've got Scott Wiener focused on lowering the age of consent in San Francisco. He's a board of supervisor, right? We've talked about that. Forget fixing the homeless problem. What Scott Wiener is focused on is lowering the age of consent so that he can have sex with young boys. That's what he wants. When he's not providing junkies everything they need, including money to continue getting high at taxpayers' expenses. And again, drugs are a slippery slope. A lot of people are mentally ill. A lot of people, there's plenty of reasons for people, you know, there's plenty of stories that lead to you winding up homeless on the streets, shooting heroin. But again, it's not the taxpayer's job or duty to finance this. It's just not. And you can have empathy. You can say, we need to do better things. We need to create rehab facility. I'm open to all those things. But what I'm not open to is, let's tax people that aren't shooting heroin and then take that money and give it to people that are shooting heroin. Really? I mean, I got empathy for the drug addicted. Okay. I do. but this is not a solution to the problem. It's just not. And if my dumbass knows it's not a solution, then surely the mental health experts and drug abuse experts out there in San Francisco know that this is a really, really bad idea. Because if it were a good idea, wouldn't we be seeing the homeless population shrink? Wouldn't we be seeing the people getting off the streets? And yet what we're seeing is that San Francisco spends as much on homeless services as they do on police. And since 2016, would you like to take a wild guess how much San Francisco, the city of San Francisco, has spent on its homeless population? Whatever the number is you guess, I promise you it's too low. Just since 2016, the city of San, I'm not talking about the state of California. I'm talking about one city in California has spent $2.8 billion on homeless services just in the last 7 years. Please explain to me how this is a sustainable model. Unless, of course, the goal is something that we're not being told, which is to destroy the city and just totally obliterate it, like dropping a neutron bomb filled with heroin into the city, where the buildings remain standing, but all the people die or leave or get mugged. And then your buddies come in and buy it up for pennies on the dollar. That could be the plan. You could turn it into a smart city, right? Because if there's one thing I know about Gavin Newsom, he's super smart, right? Whole Foods leaves. Oh, well. Actually, I can't get my avocado toast at Whole Foods because it's closed up. It's so unfair. Those fucking Republicans. Really? Really? Republicans made Whole Foods close in San Francisco? Or did the rampant stealing, the Chesa Bowden designed just steal anything under $950 and we're not going to send the police out there? Did that have something to do with it? Or maybe Whole Foods got tired of people taking a shit on aisle 3. I mean, it's reasonable. Bob, you got to go clean up aisle 3 again. That guy is in there. He's constipated. You know, I mean, this is reality in San Francisco. I was there a couple years ago. I saw this. It's sad, man. It's sad. CNN. It's sad, but there are moments of humor. And can we all just stop for a moment and appreciate the moment of humor when the CNN reporter is reporting on the ground in San Francisco about how there's just nothing to this entire narrative that the right is creating about how San Francisco is so dangerous? It's all fake news coming from those Trump-addicted lunatics over at Fox. And while giving this report, the reporter's car gets broken into. I mean, right on. Bravo to that gentleman that broke into the car at the exact same time. That is comedic timing that I just can't even. I have to stand in appreciation and awe of that. Also, well, look, the former San Francisco fire commissioner got beaten up by a mob of people just walking down the street. But that's normal and stunning and brave because San Francisco doesn't worry about things like crime because we're focused on humanity. We're focused on everybody's and inclusivity, which means that we don't want to leave just the homeless people to get stabbed and murdered. I mean, why not just have Bob Lee, the founder of Cash App? If we're going to be equal, you know, if we're going to preach equality, then the billionaires need to get stabbed to death as well. Now, I know that was like some sort of like domestic situation with some dude's girlfriend. I don't know. But again, San Francisco homicides are up 20% from last year and robbery is up 14%. How are those policing measures working over there at the San Francisco Board of Supervisors? How's it going? You guys still voting for insane stuff? Oh, wait, no, actually, you had to cancel your last meeting because vandals blew up their internet. Bravo. Bravo. These vandals that blew up the internet for the San Francisco Board of Supervisors probably saved humanity by doing that. God only knows what sort of vote they were going to bring. They're probably voting to allow 5-year-olds to change gender without their parents figuring out about that. Oh no, wait, that's my state, Colorado. We'll get to that in a minute. moving down a little bit south in the lovely state of the Golden State of California that has no gold anymore. Los Angeles County. Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors. Are you noticing a pattern here with the Board of Supervisors? They're always just up to some dumb ideas. The Board of Supervisors is working to, quote, decarcerate jails by letting out anybody with bail under $50,000. Would it surprise you even a little bit if I told you that the district attorney of Los Angeles was also installed by George Soros? Of course it would. Not to anybody that watches or listens to this show, not just the district attorney, the mayor as well. The mayor is as well. I mean, it's just clown world here, but there is good news. I do have good news to report from Los Angeles. Not much, but after 3 years, the Los Angeles County COVID state of emergency has been brought to an end. And then immediately, and I mean immediately, replaced with a new state of emergency called a homeless state of emergency as an affordable housing issue. The real reason why Los Angeles County went from one state of emergency to another state of emergency is because they don't know how to govern without it. That's the truth. They don't know how to govern without it. And also, they don't want any interference. When you've got a Soros-installed mayor and district attorney in Los Angeles County, and they're about to bring forth some woke plan that's going to destroy the city even further, you can't have a bunch of people coming up there and opposing it. So you have to constantly have a state of emergency to give you the emergency powers and an authorization necessary to cram through unpopular or insane legislation onto the people. You know, there's a huge homeless problem, to be sure. A homeless state of emergency in Los Angeles County. Yeah, but the state of emergency and the homeless problem is the fault of the government there. It's the government's doing. You know, when you've got half of all homeless people in California, we need to admit that California has a homeless problem. And you go, well, is it just that nobody can afford houses there? California is expensive, for sure. Not every part of it, though. I mean, San Francisco is off the charts, and Santa Monica, like I mentioned, where the homeless are, extremely expensive. But it's not super expensive to live in downtown Los Angeles, you know? Well, at least it wasn't when I lived there. And I did. I lived for 4 years in South Central Los Angeles. I heard the ghetto bird every night. That's what they call the helicopter. Every night with the searchlight looking for people. It's a big city. There's always been problems. I'm not expecting no problems. I'm not expecting utopia. But I've never seen it this bad, man. It's a goddamn shame. Let's move on to New York. Good news. Crime is up 22% in New York City. Yeah, and car thefts are up 32%. Would you like to know the solution? Would you like to know who gets the blame when car theft is up 32% in New York City? Who would you blame? Would you blame Eric Adams, the woke Soros district mayor of New York City? Would you blame him? Sure. Would you blame district attorney, Soros district attorney Alvin Bragg? Would you blame him? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you could blame both of those guys. Would you blame Governor Kathy Hochul, or that horse-faced lunatic up in Albany? Sure, I'd blame her too. You could blame all those. That's not who got blamed. Would you like to know who got blamed for a surge in car thefts? Automaker Hyundai got blamed for it. They blamed the company that makes the fucking cars for the rise in car theft. They said your cars are just too easy to steal. It's your fault. It's your fault? I mean, this concept that nobody's to blame except automaker or the Republic, that the Democratic government will never, ever, ever take responsibility for their actions and their failings. And their failings are monumental. It will always be somebody else's fault. Because if they allow you the opportunity for even a second to consider that maybe they're not doing a good job and that maybe they're deficient in some areas of their legislating, then you will start to realize that it is a mountain of bad decisions being made, almost to the point where you feel it's intentional. So when auto theft spiked 32%, the mayor and the district attorney blame the auto manufacturing company for it, because they could never look in the mirror and say, maybe it's our shitty policies that are doing this. We can't do that. Instead, what they focus on are indictments for Donald Trump. Okay. Flimsy indictments at best. And I'm no Donald Trump supporter, and you're never going to catch me wearing a MAGA hat, and I would never vote for that guy. And that guy did Operation Warp Speed and printed trillions of dollars and gave it to the banks and told everybody that, you know, the vaccine is the greatest thing in the world and all that stuff. I got plenty of problems with Donald Trump, believe me. But you're going to bring an indictment on a quote crime in which the statute of limitations expired 3 years ago? Are you serious? I'm no attorney. I'm no prosecutor. I don't know the ins and outs of the law. There's a lot to know. That's why I have Legal Shield, right? Because I don't know all of that. But I do have common sense. And something tells me that if I'm going to go after one of the most powerful people in the country, I better have my shit together. Okay. I better not be trying to bring this guy up on some indictment on a crime that's expired 3 years ago for paying your lawyer to pay some porn star that you banged. You know, your lawyer who already went to prison. I mean, you talk about a shitty, flimsy case. This is embarrassing. But again, Alvin Bragg, financed by George Soros, London School of Economics, Fabian Socialist, destroy the country from the inside, right? You got to look at who these guys are, you know, who's behind them. Alvin Bragg downgraded 52% of felonies to misdemeanors. You know who else did that? Chesa Boudin. And they voted his ass out of San Francisco. They had a recall election and got rid of him. So there's not much of an appetite for people like this. Not long term. This is a losing proposition if you're going to continue to downgrade half of the felonies to misdemeanor. Listen, there's too many laws on the books in general. Okay, and so I'm not somebody that's like throw the book at them. You know, I think that all the laws need to be reexamined. I mean, we've got some really dumb ones. But again, if you're downgrading violent felonies to misdemeanors, you're sending a message that there are no consequences for your action, you know? And when you're weaponizing the courts to silence your political rivals, it feels like very much like the Banana Republic of America. Here's a new one from New York. Evictions are violence. Did you know that? Did you get the memo that evictions are violence? They're actual violence. Okay, at least according to New York Representative Farrah Forrest, she is on a platform now making all kinds of noise talking about how evictions are violence. You know what? Let's boil down this democratic, socialist, cultural Marxist ideology down to a few kind of obvious talking points when you get real honest about this. The Democrats' philosophy is to teach young people how to not be responsible for any of their actions. Responsibility is white racism, apparently. You can't be responsible for your rent. You know, you can't pay your rent. You know, you're getting evicted because you're not paying your rent. But if, according to them, evictions are violence. So no responsibility for paying your rent, no responsibility for paying your loans that you took out for college, no responsibility for your actions while you're at college. You can scream at public speakers that come in there. You can demand a safe space. You can get your professor fired because you read an icky word from a book that was written in 1912. No responsibility, no accountability for anything. You know how that plays in the real world? Not well. Responsibility is racist. That's what they'd have you believe. Being responsible for yourself is a remnant of white supremacy. It's just mind-numbingly difficult to watch this day after day and to not feel really just frustrated about it. And you know, you're not doing these kids any favor, but by showing them, literally showing them time after time after time, that they can get themselves into a bind and then the government will just get them out as long as they vote blue, no matter who. It's learned helplessness. There's terms for this. There's psychological terms for this. And what you get is you get that cycle about where you go into the period of like good times create weak people. Weak people create bad times. We're creating weak people with no moral compass, no ability to, you know, be responsible for their own actions. But again, what do you expect when it's coming from the top? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the White House clown in chief, Joe Biden, a president who shits his pants in front of the Pope when he isn't sniffing the hair of young girls. Okay, this is what we've got. Biden ended the COVID emergency after 3 years. Did you hear that? Did you get the memo? Did you? COVID's over 3 years later. I mean, after they used it to, and Trump too, to be fair, to print trillions of dollars, to flood the banks with it, to create hyperinflation, to force you at the threat of losing your job, to take an experimental gene therapy that killed half the animals it was tested on, never cleared stage 3 trials, never got full approval. You know, that. Take this poison or you can't go to work and support your family. And to all of those people that had to make that calculation and took the shot because of that, you are not the enemy, just so you know. We in the non-vax, anti-vax community, we just, for the record, we do not view you as being on the wrong side of this. We have a ton of empathy for you. We know you were coerced into this. You acted against your own self-interest because you had to put food on the table for your kids and your family. How could any of us have any sort of ire or contempt for you? Just so that we're clear on this. When I go on my rants about vaccines, I just wanted to make sure that the people that took it under false pretenses or were coerced into it, I just want you guys to know I'm not directing this at you in any way. You guys are victim. You were victimized by your government. In fact, you're probably going to be the strongest allies we have. You're probably going to be the most vocal because you got forced into this against your will and you did not have any other options. So make sure you talk to people about that. If you feel like you were wronged by this, if you feel like you were backed into a corner and you were forced to do something. Now, again, I don't feel this sort of compassion for the people that were standing there saying, fucking don't let them on airplanes. Don't let them into the workforce. You know, don't make them, don't let them on trains or buses or anything. You know, keep them at home. You know, teach those anti-vaxxers a lesson. Cut them off from society. Those people can go fuck themselves. Okay. Those people can go die with their fifth booster shot. I really don't care about them. But I have a ton of concern for the people that were forced into it. And those are my people, man. Those are people that I want to reach. Those are people that have righteous anger about this stuff and frustration. And I think they're starting to see the world. Like, so however you got to this point, if you're listening to this crazy ass show, you're at a point in your life where you're frustrated, where you're seeing this with your own eyes. The television's telling you you're not seeing it. Joe Biden's telling you you're not seeing it. The talking heads on your nightly news are telling you to trust the plan and everything. Anthony Fauci's lying to you. All the medical industry's lying to you. Everybody's lying to you. Everybody's lying to you about all kinds of things. And for those of you that can see through it, good for you. Because most people can't. And so, you know, when I take a look at the, you know, I can't help but think that this is, we've turned the United States of America, a country that was looked upon with envy by many countries around the world for a very long time. We've turned it into a banana republic, the sort of countries that we, talk about behind their backs about how they're so backwards over there. They're so turned around. They're so third world. They don't even have adequate healthcare. I mean, they don't even have access to COVID shots whenever they want it. It's like, oh, really? Really? Hmm. Yeah. Well, we're going to get knocked off our high horse here because, I don't know if you noticed, but there were leaked U.S. defense documents that showed that the United States, United Kingdom, France, the Dutch and Latvia had troops that were covertly operating inside Ukraine. Oopsie. How many of those countries are in NATO? I think all of them. Not sure about Latvia. Probably. So we've got NATO troops operating inside Ukraine. I mean, we knew this. We suspected this. But now we've got leaks, and then they show that that's what's happening. Okay, so that's a problem. We've got the Nord Stream pipeline being blown up by the United States military. That's a problem. We've got Germany. Germany's over there in some, low-rent German homemade porn tape sitting in the corner, totally cucked while America's banging their woman. You know what I mean? Banging away at the Nord Stream pipeline, blowing it up. And Germany's just sitting in the corner, sucking its thumb, going, we'll pretend like none of this is happening. We don't want to start any problems with you guys in America. Embarrassing. This was an act of war by the United States against Russia and Germany. Germany's pretending like it didn't happen as they shut down the last power plant, the last nuclear power plant in Germany just closed today, according to what I read. But before they closed the last nuclear power plant in Germany, they did something in anticipation of that. They raised the price of electricity by 45%. Probably nothing, though. The new January 6th video release, you remember that came out, shows that the Biden administration covered up the event and then lied to the public about it. When I'm talking about the Biden administration, just imagine that, like, I'm talking about the government of, oh, I don't know, just pick some Central American country, you know, Honduras, right? You'd hear these things and you'd go, well, that's Honduras for you, you know what I mean? And I'm not trying to shit on Honduras. I've never been there. But you know, you go, well, that's just what, you, oh, they, there was some sort of coup at the palace January 6th. And, but the whole thing was faked and lied about in the Biden, that, you know, the current administration, incoming administration was orchestrating this whole thing. Well, that's Honduras for you, except it's Washington, D.C. But don't worry, it's about to get much worse for America because Saudi Arabia is ditching the United States and getting themselves into some sort of plural marriage with China and Iran, which I'm almost positive plural marriages are against the law in both Saudi Arabia and Iran. Probably China too. They're not going to be watching any TLC over there in Iran. Oh God, the fucking television shows here in America. For those of you international that don't have any idea what I'm talking about with TLC, we've got 600-pound people. We've got an entire family of midgets living together. We've got plural marriages. We've got 1,000-pound sisters. We've got it all, man. America. Fuck yeah. But then not only did Saudi Arabia put together this deal with China and Iran, they then immediately ended the war with Yemen that the United States was financing without, you know, really telling the Americans, like, oh, we're ending that. Good. I'm glad it ended. It should have never started in the first place. What the Saudis did to the Yemenis was disgraceful, a stain on humanity. They should take the entire regime of Saudi Arabia out to their town square and behead them the way they do everybody else for their crimes against humanity towards Yemen and others, but that in particular. the starvation with what they did to the kids there. Unforgivable, in my opinion. But again, the relationship the United States had with Saudi Arabia was very warm. You know, the Bushes, the Bandar Bush, all that stuff. I mean, we were in bed with the Saudis so closely that it seemed like nothing would break that petrodollar arrangement. And yet here we are. We're having discussions about it. We've got the de-dollarization happening across the globe. We've got the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa makes up the BRICS, B-R-I-C-S acronym. They're looking to add new members. They're talking about creating their own BRICS currency. This would have never happened under a strong American regime that continued those ties with the Saudis. But since Mohammed bin Salman has been, moved his way up the ladder in Saudi Arabia, things have changed. That relationship no longer exists. America just simply doesn't buy enough oil from the Saudis to justify the petrodollar arrangement. The Chinese do. Chinese buy as much oil now from Saudi Arabia than the United States did back in the 70s when that petrodollar arrangement was first talked about, it was consummated. So if we're going to get honest about it, Saudi Arabia's best interest would be creating a petro yuan, or maybe just getting away from this game altogether and selling their oil in whatever currency somebody wants to pay for it with, like gold or Bitcoin. Oh, if Saudi Arabia started selling oil for Bitcoin, holy shit. I'd be hitting up Berwick for a big old loan at that point. Like, since you've got a couple $1 trillion sitting around, I think you could help me I'm trying to buy an island. India is buying Russian oil in rupees. That alone would get you invaded 20 years ago. I.e. Saddam Hussein, Muammar Gaddafi, all these. Messing around and with your currency and allowing or messing around and selling your oil for something other than, or buying oil in something other than US dollars, that creates a huge problem. But you know what? The Biden administration slapped these sanctions on Russia during this Russia-Ukraine thing, and Russia had to adjust. Now, I think Russia had a plan in place all along, and I think they knew, based on what had happened in 2014 when they were threatened to be taken off the SWIFT banking system, that they needed a backup plan. Of course, they have one with China now. So we've got Brazil cutting deals with China. We've got Russia backing their ruble with gold. We've got a new SWIFT system created by China that Russia and China and others are using to clear these international wire transfers that all flow through New York and then outwards. Now there's a secondary player here. This is not what happens when you are coming from a position of strength in the United States. If you were in a position of strength, you would put an end to that before it even started. Or those leaders would know, if we do this, we're going to get bombs dropped on us, you know. But there's no fear anymore. And by the way, the Russia-Ukraine war, Russia's winning. I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news to those that are watching CNN and MSNBC that are like, you know, victory for Ukraine is right around the corner. It's not. It's just not. The reports that are coming in, the reports that I read that aren't the mainstream media, paint a much different picture. The money that is flowing into, I'll tell you what has been discussed even in the mainstream media in the U.S. is how much money is getting skimmed by the Ukrainians. $400 million is confirmed to have been stolen by Zelensky. They're on the record saying he took that. Now, they don't even act surprised because it's to be expected. But, you took a little bit too much. You skimmed a little too much off the top, right? You've watched the movie Casino. They take you in the back room, you know. I mean, everybody skims a little off the top here when you've got these wars. You know, the briefcases come out of the counting room, you know, and the guy with the briefcase, nobody asks any questions, and he goes and takes that to the big boss, right? And so that's kind of how it works. But even by our standards, the Ukrainian generals are like driving around in Bentleys and shit. Like, I mean, crazy grifts, and God knows what's in the Cayman Islands too, you know. So we've got tens of billions. The 400 million is confirmed to have been stolen, but the estimates are that it's that the grift and is in the tens of billions of dollars that have been rerouted elsewhere. And listen, I'm not even saying that it's all the Ukrainians that are stealing it. A lot of this is probably just America doing America shit, you know, which is funneling it into this country and then right out the back door and through the city of London and into Bermuda, some offshore banking haven where nobody's ever going to find it, or Switzerland or Cayman Islands or Monaco or someplace, Guernsey, Jersey, one of these banking establishments, probably filled with U.S. taxpayer dollars, right? But that's what Ukraine is and was. It's good for a couple of things. It's good for human trafficking. And when I say good, I mean bad, obviously, but it's businesses. If you're in the human trafficking industry, you know, you're going to have a franchise in Ukraine where you can get those Eastern European kids at a young age and either cut their organs out and sell them on the black market or just straight up trade them in the Middle East and elsewhere as property. And that's definitely happening. We've got chemical bio labs being, you know, sprouting up all over Ukraine as America uses this as a proxy, as a playground, some backyard ramshackled house off the beaten path where they're making moonshine and crystal meth in their backyard because there isn't a neighbor anywhere for miles around. That's Ukraine. We're just in there with chemical weapons labs and human trafficking going up because no, it's lawless. Nobody's paying attention. And if they are paying attention, then Joe Biden flies into their country and threatens the district attorney, whatever their version of the district attorney is, with $1 billion of U.S. taxpayer money not reaching them unless he calls off the dogs on the investigation into Burisma. And then what do you know? They fire the guy within a matter of hours and replace him with a new guy that's amenable to Joe Biden's dictates when he was vice president, and then $1 billion arrives. So don't tell me we don't do this, because we do it, and Joe Biden talked about it on camera. Belarus is getting nukes, and, you know, what do you expect? What does NATO expect when they do this? Just like, oh, shit, now Russia's going to arm Belarus with nuclear weapons. Yeah, you know why, right? Because you guys sanctioned them and did all the things that would rightly get nuclear weapons put in Belarus. You can't act surprised by all of this. This is to be expected. Israel's out of control. They're attacking Lebanon. They're fighting internally. There's all kinds of civil wars that are going on. We've got, you know, and of course, Biden is bogged down with other stuff. He can't get involved in that. He's too busy entertaining Alex Soros, who made 14 visits to the White House so far in this Biden administration. But let's move on, right? Because we could talk about that pedophile all day long, and I don't want to bore you with too much of that. But I do want to talk a little bit about the culture component of this, about what's turned this country into a banana republic. We've got this problem. I mean, we sort of started with this, with the lunatic left. And I was talking about them with regards to the ideology involved in government, right? The government, the hardcore leftist, cultural Marxist, the way they see government with regard to California and New York and these Democratic-run shitholes that they turn into with their policy. But let's talk about the culture in general, just the overall lunatic left population. We've got, when I see these people talking on camera, on TikTok, or maybe they're protesting something, or they're at some city council meeting where they're advocating for some insane policy, I notice a couple things. I notice that they all appear to have some form of mental illness. And I'm not trying to be, I'm not totally trying to be funny about that. I mean, it's a little bit funny when you watch them, but I'm not kidding. When I say it, I think that there's a lot of mental illness going on. I think that when you look at them and when you look at them in their eyes, there's a deadness there. There's a deadness in their eyes that you get from being on SSRIs. selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These are antipsychotic drugs that are used to treat mental illness like bipolar, depression, things like that. Now, again, if you've got those traits, if you have bipolar, I have empathy for you. Like I'm not trying to shit on you. It's not your fault. But again, if you're going to the pharmaceutical industry for a solution to your problem, they are going to exacerbate your problem. That's what they do. They have stated that their goal is to get everybody on a dozen medications. So look, they're only going to prescribe your way out of this. You know, they're just going to keep giving you more and more drugs. But I see this when I hear these people talking. I see mental illness in their eyes, the SSRI, and you know, the kind of looks in their eyes, and this narcissism, this insane narcissism that they should be prioritized. You know, this trans agenda. Let's talk about this, the trans agenda. Because the trans agenda is interesting because they come out, first of all, it's 0.7% of the population. It's a very, very small percentage. But you wouldn't know that if you were living in America, because the nightly news has amplified their voice to a disproportionate level, where it doesn't seem like it's 0.7%. It seems like it's 70% of the population are trans, right? And what do they keep saying? Trans, hashtag trans violence is trending. Trans violence is trending. And trans lives matter, and stop the genocide, and all of these things. I've got news for the, I've got good news and bad news for the trans community. The good news is there is no trans genocide. The bad news is you guys are exhibiting classic narcissistic traits. The idea that the straight community, straight white men, let's say, of which I fall in that category, are plotting and scheming to create a trans genocide, I would like to ask you to kindly understand something. Don't flatter yourself. Don't flatter yourself to think that we're sitting around giving any thought to you at all. The idea that we're sitting around plotting some trans genocide is ludicrous. The truth of the matter is, we don't even think about you. We weren't thinking about you at all until you started trying to sexualize kids with the grooming behavior. Then you got on our radar. Then you started to make people mad. But before that, this idea that straight white men are out there plotting and scheming, that's what narcissists think. You think you're so fucking important that we're all planning to take you down? You don't exist in our world. Not in a good way or bad way. You're just irrelevant. The amount of time in my life that I spend thinking about trans people before this was 0% of my time. So this idea that we're all out there, we've given up, we've quit our day jobs and divorced our wives and just told our friends, I don't have time to talk to you anymore. I only have time to focus on creating this trans genocide. That's what lunatics think. So you're out here thinking that everybody's watching you and everybody's out to get you and everything. And what I'm telling you is that's the SSRIs doing that to you. That's the prescription drugs making you feel paranoid and a delusional sense of grandeur. That's what you've got. You're exhibiting mental illness by thinking that everybody's out to get you. You know who does that? Paranoid schizophrenics and the trans community. So, you know, but I'll tell you what is happening. People like Riley Gaines goes to the San Francisco State University. This could have been in the San Francisco section too. The University of Kentucky swimmer who swam against Leah Thomas, William Thomas, the UPenn swimmer, the man who was ranked 450th when he was a man and then transitioned and became a woman. Didn't transition, didn't cut his dick off, just tucked it and then went in the women's changing room with all of these other women swimmers and let his flag fly in there. The person that spoke up against this, Riley Gaines, goes to the San Francisco State University and gets physically attacked, held hostage for ransom. And you know what San Francisco State University did? You know what they said after this whole thing happened? They called it peaceful protesting. I mean, we're in clown world.
We're upside down clown world. So, but luckily, even through all of the clowniness, and there's plenty of it, luckily the FBI, you know, the largest domestic terrorist organization operating in America, the FBI has prioritized what they're working on right now. They've really boiled it down to the most important component, what's bothering American society. Domestic terrorism, you say? Well, yeah, they're still focused on that as long as the people are white. But what they're really working on is getting to the bottom of certain words that are appearing online. You know, because words are violence these days. Which words are these? Are these words like, I'm going to kill you, you know, I'm going to shoot up a school? No. It's none of those words. The words that the FBI is concerned about are red-pilled, based, Chad. Can't even get through. I swear to God, I'm being serious about it. Looks Maxine and Stacy. These are the five words. Because this is involuntary, celibate, violent extremism. This is a war against the incels. To use terms like red-pilled, based, looks maxing, and then the male version of being like a strong, smart guy who understands this is Chad, and the female version is Stacy. And the FBI is really concerned about these words. Holy shit. Let's stick with this. I want to go back to the trans thing for a second here, because, you know, I think it's important to mention that not only is there not some trans genocide being plotted by white males all around the world, not only is that not happening, but I would suggest that the trans community is the most protected class in America. You can't say anything about them now. There's no trans genocide. The thought police will get you before you can even do anything about it. The alphabet mafia screams every single time. They call everybody a bigot while being the least tolerant people around. I shouldn't even say the alphabet mafia. Not all the letter people. The LGBs, they've been living in peace and harmony with the rest of the country, planet, you know, for a long time. They haven't been causing these problems. It's not them. I'm not directing my frustration at them. It's like Chappelle says, it's those T's. Gotta let those T's out of the car. But again, they're a protected class. They're talking about how everyone's out to get them. This is in your head. Everyone's out to get, first of all, where are you? You're only 0.6% of the population, which means for every 1,000 people, there's 6 of you. And where are they located? San Francisco, the big major cities, mostly. So this idea that there's some sort of, you know, that everyone's out to get them. Who's the biggest star in America right now? Dylan Mulvaney, this rainbow groomer clown with a personality disorder and anorexia. You know, this grifter made a bunch of money. Almost can't blame him for you know, Bud Light, and, you know, he's got Bud Light, Nike women, Tampax, Walmart, KitchenAid, Kate Spade, and the Plaza Hotel's Eloise suite. I don't know if you saw that abomination. Plenty of sponsors to sponsor his 365 days of girlhood. You're a man. You're a predator. I mean, you're not scary because you're 94 pounds, but you have predatory behavior. The fact that you're in the Plaza Hotel in the Eloise suite pretending to be a 6-year-old girl should get you locked up in a psych ward for that. But instead it gets you 6 figures from these brands that think that they're going to you know, tap into some new demographic, some new market. Well, first of all, this is, you don't have to have gone to business school to understand that this is a catastrophe from a marketing and strategy standpoint, that you're going to sacrifice your core market, if you're Bud Light beer drinkers, right? You know the age range, mostly men, mostly young here nationally. Internationally, there's a different demographic. And I think Bud White does quite well internationally. But in America, you know who your market is. And to commit ritual suicide for your brand by telling them all that they're bigots and homophobes, and instead, you know, signing deals with a person that represents a fringe minority of people who, I don't know, I don't have the test market demographics, but my guess is that the trans community, not huge Bud Light drinkers, but you've spent billions of dollars over the years advertising on sporting events, Super Bowl, NBA championships, you know, regular season, postseason, you name it. Billions and billions of dollars to target a specific market, and then you threw it all away on some publicity stunt because you wanted to get woke and go broke. NHL is learning that, speaking of pro sports, NHL is learning the hard way with this as well. They ditched the Rainbow Pride warm-ups after players refused to wear them. They had this diversity and inclusion hiring job fair in Florida where they said white straight men need not apply, and Ron DeSantis put an end to it. He closed it down. You see, you can't do that. It's illegal. It's, first of all, stupid, but stupidity isn't a crime. If it were, Gavin Newsom and half of the Congress would be taken away in handcuffs. But you know, it is a crime to discriminate. You don't get to just discriminate against white straight men and that be okay because the other group had been discriminated against before. That's not fairness. That's revenge. There's a huge difference between that. Jennifer Eckelme, vice president for multicultural engagement and integration at the NHL. Good luck keeping that job, lady. You done pissed off your fan base. They hate you. They don't think you're stunning and brave. They think you're retarded. And I think a case can be made for that. We've got woke ABC Disney, their show, The Bachelor, where Jesse Palmer, man, he had to come on and apologize. He had to apologize on behalf of a contestant over an interview that one of the female contestants did. She committed the unforgivable crime of liking a post that one of her friends put out on Facebook of this person in blackface. Now, the contestant, the girl that was on the Bachelor, she wasn't the one in blackface. Her friend was, who also wasn't on the show. She saw the post on Facebook and liked it. And because she liked it, Jesse Palmer had to go do a song and dance in front of the audience and explain how dangerous it is and how they apologize for it. Now, let me just clarify the story even further, just so that we're crystal clear on what level of clown world we're in. The post that the girl liked, the girl who's, I don't know, 25 maybe, the post that the girl liked didn't happen while they were filming The Bachelor or anything like that. It happened when the girl was a sophomore in high school. They went back retroactively 10 years earlier and found a post, not that she posted, that she liked of somebody else in blackface, and that was enough to do the apology. This is not going to end well. It's just not going to. I told you I'd mentioned that my state of Colorado and they've stepped on a big rake here. They're calling it the Colorado Transgender Tourism State. Do you know what this is? This is neither stunning nor brave, I assure you. It's fucking dangerous and bordering on like some, I don't even, child trafficking type stuff. But they're allowing children to travel to the state of Colorado for puberty blockers, even if drugs are banned where they currently live. So imagine this scenario. You have a 12-year-old girl who lives in Montana, who can't get puberty blockers there, wants to become a boy because they've been watching TikTok, can't get it there. can get on a bus and take this bus 27 hours all day and all night to get to Colorado, so that in the state of Colorado will give this minor puberty blockers without parents there. And Colorado thinks this is a good idea. Do you know how many predators will be hanging out at the bus stop? Like, hey, baby, see, you just got to Denver. She's like, I'm 12. Like, want to make some money? You know, this is insanity. But Jared Polis is out of his fucking mind. He's a World Economic Forum young global leader, of course. I mean, that should go without saying. He's a dual citizen, you know, he's doing all that stuff. So it's no surprise. It won't be long before the state of Colorado is destroyed as well. Let's end on the business side. We'll wrap up with what's going on, to show, like, we've got a huge problem with real estate, and I work in real estate. We're about to have a huge problem with real estate. But again, this is what happens. You have commercial real estate tanking. The banks are nervous. Deutsche Bank's nervous. I'm nervous about Deutsche Bank. When Deutsche Bank is nervous about commercial real estate tanking, then you should really be nervous, because I'm nervous about Deutsche Bank even making it to the end of the week and still being in business. But that's coming for America. Real estate is it had been in a bubble for a while. Now you've got interest rates going through the roof. That's going to tank the real estate market here in the United States as well. Residential, commercial, office space is a disaster. You're starting to see some big holding companies default on loan payments for flagship type commercial buildings. That's usually a bad sign when even the flagship type, you know, like the grade at class A type buildings are defaulting. That's not good. It usually happens the other way around. You know, the lower end class C type buildings default first, and then it sort of makes its way up. So we've got that. Inflation is still a huge problem and not getting anywhere, you know, not getting fixed anytime soon. The Biden administration is unqualified or incapable or unwilling to try and help out with that. So, look, we're at a point where you're going to have to figure this out for yourself. The government's not coming to save you. The banks are not going to be there to bail you out. They're in fact going to bail in and take your money. That's their legal right to do. We've been discussing this. We've got, you know, it's hard to know what's real and what's not real when the World Economic Forum is saying that they're hiring 100,000 information warriors to go on online and combat bad information with good information, which I would suggest is actually the exact opposite of that. So look, it's time to get yourself a life raft, the proverbial life raft. Maybe that's gold. Maybe that's silver. Maybe that's land. Maybe that's productive farmland. Maybe that's food. It could be bullets. It could be crypto. It could be survival kits, whatever you need. Start thinking about that stuff, man, because we're headed down a path in which it takes decades to pull yourself out of this. And I don't think that the Biden administration gives a damn about trying to help it out, because if you remember his policy or what he ran for president on, he ran for president on Build Back Better. And there's no point in building it. You know, you can't build it back until you destroy it first. And given the litany of crimes and misdemeanors that I've just pointed out, boy, I think a case can be made that you couldn't destroy America any better than this administration is doing right now. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggression. We're on Instagram too, at Macroaggression Podcast. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.